Bill Muhlenberg here again, Culture Watch, reading a September 1, 2020 article, The End of History. We need to be comforted by knowing that God is in control of history. History is going somewhere. For the Christian, we believe God is not aloof or out of touch with the affairs of men, but is actively involved in them. And he does not just interact with individuals, but with nations as well. His purposes are being worked out, and believers can take great comfort in that. Scripture throughout speaks to these realities. We certainly find this in the book of Daniel. In fact, this is my third, maybe final piece from the book of Daniel and some of the big themes found there. Let me, however, preface my remarks by saying that when you've been a Christian for a long time, certain biblical books may wax or wane in your attention. You might be more interested in some books for a while, and then maybe much less so at other times. That was the case for me with the apocalyptic books like Daniel and Revelation. When I was a new Christian, I was really gung-ho on prophecy and eschatology, so I gobbled up biblical books like these. And I fully ran with all my favorite end times points of view and eschatology and theology about what was to come. But over the years, I've come to see some of the alternate viewpoints to some of these matters, and so I'm a little bit less passionate than I once was, at least in terms of a particular take on some of these issues. So now I'm keen on perhaps some of the other books a bit more and not paying as much attention to these older books that I used to love. But having reread them again recently, I'm kind of seeing them in a new light, so I found a new interest, but with a slightly different angle. So instead of just obsessing on particular details on how things might fit into some prophetic calendar, instead I'm looking at some of the overriding themes of these books. As I said in my previous articles on Daniel, the sovereignty of God and his authority over the nations certainly comprise the bulk of the key messages in this book. Whether we see this played out in human history with particular rulers like Nebuchadnezzar, found in the first six chapters of Daniel, or the grand sweep of history as found in the last six chapters, these are some of the key teachings we need to focus on. So this piece will look at some of the visions that Daniel had in the second half of the book, with chapter 7 as my key point of entry. There we find his famous vision of the four beasts. Here I want to highlight two sections of the chapter, both showing that God is in charge, not mere human rulers, and his kingdom will prevail while all the others will perish. For example, verses 13 and 14, we find this. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And then in verse 27, we find these words. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So this is where all of human history is heading. Elsewhere in Scripture, we find these majestic promises, not least of which in Revelation. They are comforting words indeed for all those who are so weary and tired of the hardship, oppression, and injustice that they have to endure under evil human rulers. Their suffering will not go on forever, nor will these wicked rulers. There are many commentators I could draw upon here to run with some explanation, but just two I want to highlight. They both make the case that history is going somewhere, God is in charge, and we do indeed have hope. The truth is, all human dynasties and powers will come to an end one day. So first, let me draw upon a devotional commentary by James Montgomery Boyce, but actually his commentary on the Psalms, not on Daniel. His thoughts on Psalm 47 are worth running with. Verses 7 to 8 in this psalm say this: "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne." Boyce offers these remarks. In 1934, the great British historian Arno Toynbee began a study of world history that occupied him until 1961, and it eventually filled 12 large volumes. In this massive work, Toynbee isolated 34 distinct civilizations, including 13 independent ones, 15 satellite civilizations, and 6 abortive ones. Each of these came upon the pages of history for a time and then passed away. Egypt was once a great world power, but it is weak today. Babylon was mighty, but its territory has been divided. And even the discovery of great stores of oil in that area of the world has not restored it or the surrounding nations to a dominant position on the world stage. Greece and Rome, once wonders of fallen mankind, have fallen. The Soviet Union fell apart. Even the United States of America, though now at the very pinnacle of world power, is in decline and will not escape the inexorable law of history, namely that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Proverbs 14:34. When they are strong and victorious, nations fondly suppose that they will control their own destinies. Yet it is not they, but God, who is king over all the earth. Moreover, the God who is king requires righteousness. So when the nations depart from his ways and arrogantly exalt themselves, God brings them down. The Bible book that makes this point most empathetically is Daniel. And I also like what Ernest Lucas has to say in his 2002 commentary on Daniel. He speaks of the, quote, Hebrew worldview that lies behind Daniel 7. It was sorely tried at times. The Babylonian exile was one such time. While some were led to wonder whether Yahweh had forgotten them as they languished in exile, others seemed to have gone so far as to wonder whether he really had the power to save them. He goes on to explain the significance of the vision. The essence of the vision is not a series of predictions about historical events so much, but a theology of history. Whether we like it or not, or understand it or not, the Most High has given a measure of sovereignty to human rulers. As a result, from time to time, history does seem to be in the grip of chaotic, bestial forces, as has all too often been true at various times and places, certainly in the last 100 years. At times, God's people are devastated, yet it is also true that in history there have been amazing turnarounds and deliverances of the godly in which the faithful have seen the judgment of God at work, giving them the assurance that the Most High still rules over the beasts. It is far more important to grasp this message than to decode the vision in terms of specific historic references. Faced with suffering and injustice and oppression, and with no deliverance or remedy at hand, hope has to lie in the belief that there is more to reality than is apparent. However, belief that there is a transcendent dimension to reality is not necessarily comforting or encouraging in itself. It might leave believers feeling at the mercy of forces over which they have little or no control, and which may be either indifferent or malevolent towards them. That is why it is important that there is a throne occupied by a righteous judge who will act to deliver the faithful from their oppressors. Yep, all Christians need to keep this in mind. Indeed, just as I was typing this, I have also been praying about a vote taking place in the Victorian upper house concerning the extension of what is really dictatorial powers to the Premier. I have been praying that God would somehow intervene and not allow this to go through. Yet I see one press item now reporting that a Greens MP has decided to return from maternity leave just to cast the deciding vote in favor of it. If so, this is bad news indeed, and from a human point of view, it looks like once again, evil reigns, Satan is getting his way, and God is taking a back seat. But the biblical material remains clear. Temporary wins by those opposed to God and his people are just that, temporary. One day, this premier and others like him will be long gone and will be long forgotten. All those leaders who are arrogantly pursuing power and their own glory will one day be no more, but the eternal God will forever remain. Let me close by repeating what Daniel 7:27 says. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Bill Muhlenberg's Culture Watch podcast is a production of The Good Source, presented by Bill Muhlenberg. Thousands of Bill's articles can be read on his website, billmuhlenberg.com. To watch, listen to, or read more media without the SJW PC fact filter, visit goodsource.news. That's good, SAUCE.news. Become a Good Source supporter for exclusive access to live and unedited interview recordings, including the conversations before and after the show.